Okay, we're going to start in John chapter 3 again, this time in verse 22. This is our reading for Sunday, March 29th. I hope that all of you who are listening today are doing well, that you have focused your minds upon Christ on this, a Lord's Day. I realize that it's a strange Lord's Day since we are unable to meet together, and that provides a sense of loss and a hole within us today. I hope that this reading helps you. I hope that you are taking advantage of some of the technology that is available to us today to participate in some Bible studies, or at least listen to some Bible studies, whether it be these recordings and or whether it be some of these groups that are doing some live streaming. I hope that benefits you, helps you to be spiritually focused today, and remember that the Lord's Day belongs to the Lord because it is His, and it is a day in which we remember that it is His sacrifice that brings the forgiveness of sins. So John chapter 3, starting in verse 22. After this, Jesus and His disciples went into the Judean countryside, and He remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. John answered, A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. This is a little bit shorter reading than we've been doing. But there's some very important things for us to notice in this verse 22 through 36 of John chapter 3. So, just to make sure we're all on the same page, Jesus has come. He has been introduced, if you will, by John the Baptist. John readily confessed he isn't the Christ, he isn't the prophet. You know, he's not any of these things, but that he came to prepare the way and he came to bear witness about Jesus. And anytime you have a group of people that are attached, if you will, fond of, if you will, a teacher, they're going to be gravitating toward that teacher. And I think the disciples here have done this to the point that they see the following of Jesus as almost a threat to John the Baptist. And it's the wrong way of thinking, but that's my impression of what's going on here. So as Jesus is coming on the scene, John has prepared the way already. Is there more work that John can do? Sure. There's more proclaiming that John can do. There's more witnessing about Jesus being the Christ that John can do. But in essence, once Jesus begins his ministry, John is finishing up his work. And he recognizes that. But his disciples are looking at this and saying, hey, a lot of people are following Jesus, and they're not following you anymore. Maybe they thought that John would see it the same way and feel threatened as well, but that's not the case. John doesn't feel threatened. In fact, if you consider the way he states this about it being his joy, we can see that John is happy that people are listening to Jesus. And if John did his work in such a way that truly did prepare the way for those people to accept the things that Jesus was saying and accept who Jesus is, then that was a moment of great joy for him. All of us should be that way. If we have the opportunity to sit down and teach anyone, if we're truly Christ-minded and Christ-focused, then I'm not trying to gain a following, and I don't have any problem with people listening to those that are teaching the truth that aren't me. And I fully recognize that there are some really wonderful teachers and preachers today. And I recognize that our previous generation that is you know, now passing away and have passed away had some truly wonderful teachers. I am never threatened by somebody saying, so-and-so had a great lesson on this subject. There have even been lessons that I prepared and I did my best to preach a truthful, impactful lesson for the benefit of the hearers. But I know that there's other guys that have done a better job addressing the subject, either because they were able to illustrate it better or because they were better scholars than me. I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with realizing that other guys can do better in some things than I can do. And I hope that there are some things that I excel in. But if I look at my job as a teacher and a preacher as to bring people to Christ, and then the way John is looking at it is he's handing them off to Jesus, what better role could we play? What better role could anybody play than to bring people to Jesus and then let Jesus have them? John is saying, this is a joyful thing for me, and it should be a joyful thing for us all. If we have the opportunity to preach Jesus, then that's all we're doing, is we're bringing people to Jesus. So, them saying, look, he's baptizing and all are going to him. John said, a person cannot receive even one thing, and his lesson is given from him from heaven. All he's saying is, they weren't mine to begin with. If I'm doing the job I'm supposed to do, they weren't mine. They were God's. And now the Son of God is here on the earth. They're his. They belong to him. And so he just reminds them, I told you I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. And this illustration about the bride and the bridegroom is very appropriate, considering the church is the bride of Christ. And that while the bridegroom is with the disciples, they were to be rejoicing and enjoying that time. For when he has to leave, that would be the time of a period of sadness. So he says, they rejoice greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy of mine is now complete. I have to tell you that I really admire John's attitude here. And it's my goal to have the same kind of attitude. He must increase, I must decrease. It's never about us. No matter what our role is, no matter how great a teacher or preacher we are, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And so verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. In other words, he's saying, he's greater than me. And the whole point of all this was about him. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. If God has sent them, then they are speaking what God has said. And God is providing the signs and the wonders that prove that Jesus was the Christ. And you go back and look at the prophecies of Jesus and then see them being fulfilled, and they've been recorded for us in the Gospels so that we can see them being fulfilled, then there is no reason to doubt that Jesus is the Son of God, exactly who he says he is. It is statistically impossible for anyone who was not the Son of God to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies. There are simply just too many and too varied for anybody by some chance to fulfill them all. It cannot happen. And so he makes that point, verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. That includes those disciples, all of them. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And notice that John's preaching the same thing that Jesus was preaching, as we talked about Nicodemus yesterday. So understand, John and Jesus are preaching the same message. But John's job was to bring them to Jesus, just like it's my job today to bring people to Jesus. And it's your job today to help people to see Jesus in your life. Even if you're not doing any teaching or preaching or anything like that, they should see you living like Jesus and ask about the hope that is in you so that you can direct them toward Christ. None of those disciples belonged to John at all. They were Jesus's to begin with, before he even started his ministry. But notice he says, whoever does not obey the Son. So back here, when we talked about Nicodemus yesterday, we talked about belief has to be combined with obedience, that you can't separate them. So in verse 18 of John chapter 3, whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So Jesus said belief, but here in verse 36, John says obey. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. So the two go together. They are preaching the same message. Wow, this is really powerful stuff. I hope that on this, the Lord's Day, that you're thinking about Jesus and that you have been brought to Jesus and that you belong to Jesus. I hope that's what is there for you today, despite the fact that we are unable to gather in His name in a physical location together today. If you haven't been brought to Jesus, but you believe in Him, and you're ready to obey Him, then reach out to me. Isolation or no, virus or no, if you're ready to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I will be ready to help you in that obedience. If you're not in the Burnet area and you need help finding someone who could assist you with that obedience that is in your area, I will do everything that I can to find someone who will have the same attitude, that they are ready to bring you to Christ, hand you off so that you might be obedient to Him. I thank you for listening. I ask that you continue to pray for me, pray for your brethren, pray for those that are seeking Jesus during this time. God bless you. Thank you for listening.